Paul Tebble knows firsthand how wild sandhill cranes react to the sight of a human. He's the manager of Audubon's Rose Sanctuary for Cranes in central Nebraska. Every spring, hundreds of thousands of the birds stop there on their way north. Tebble says it's an amazing spectacle, but it's impossible to witness it up close.
To simply get out of a car 100 yards away from those cranes, they will flush away from you. And if you were to walk towards them, they would leave the area en masse.
Which makes this crane at the Berkshire Bird Paradise in upstate New York rather unusual. He and another crane arrived a few weeks ago after a wildlife biologist picked them up in central New York State. Their long, thin beaks are as sharp as a dagger, so folks got nervous when the four-foot-tall birds started hanging around their neighborhood. Peter Dubacher runs the Berkshire Bird Paradise. He plays with the crane as it tries to pull a ring off his finger.
This is an animal that was raised in captivity. So basically, he never really had the opportunity to learn the ropes of what it takes to survive.
And this crane isn't alone. Reports have come in of four more wandering around central New York. The cranes were part of an experiment run by a Canadian group called Operation Migration. They work with researchers all over North America to train wild birds how to migrate. Their project was featured in the film Fly Away Home. These cranes were raised at the National Wildlife Research Center in Patuxent, Maryland. They were taught to follow an ultralight airplane from Maryland to Operation Migration's headquarters in Ontario, Canada. Once the experiment was done, they were released on a refuge in New York. But they didn't stay there long, and according to New York Conservation Officer Ward Stone, that's when the trouble started.
The bird had been acting very tame, eating out of people's hands, following kids around a school bus wait. I think the lesson here is that some of these experiments can go awry, and I think this is one that did.
But Heather Ray of Operation Migration disagrees. She says when they first started their experiments, they did accidentally tame some birds. Their goal was to tame the birds to the airplane so they would fly behind it, but the birds got used to humans as well. They learned to trust people and associate them with food. She says this time, the researchers used costumes so the birds would not recognize them as human.
Those birds never saw a human being. They never heard a human voice. The only human activity and things that they saw were costumed figures that were wearing a big flowing gray costume that came right down to the ankle.
However, a recent study in the journal Conservation Biology questions the use of costumes. It reports condors raised by people wearing costumes in California were inadvertently tamed. Ray maintains the cranes were tamed by humans after they were released. But even when mistakes are made, she says the errors are far outweighed by the importance of the group's task. They're using sandhill cranes as guinea pigs for future experiments with the endangered whooping crane. The two birds are closely related, and the hope is to establish new populations of whooping cranes by teaching them different migration routes. Paul Tebble at Nebraska's Rose Sanctuary says many biologists agree that other animals might have to be sacrificed for the whooping crane's cause. He says that's because the situation is desperate. There are fewer than 200 whooping cranes left in the wild. But he argues scientists still have obligations to the animals they work with.
If you're going to take sandhill cranes and you're going to tame them, then there needs to be somebody that's going to take care of those sandhill cranes for the rest of their lives. That's a must in my mind. I don't think any researchers have the right to utilize these birds and then just cast them free to try and struggle through on their own when they haven't had the proper training as a crane.
Despite the controversy, the work with migrating cranes continues. But for sandhill cranes like this one, living in captivity in New York, there will be no more trips south. The winters will be spent in a greenhouse, a sacrifice made in an attempt to save another crane from disappearing altogether. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Karen Kelly.